chapter number 84 this morning. Hope you'll go with us over to the flagpole. I think it's important, as I mentioned earlier, the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due, and we owe those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms and for this nation, we owe them respect and honor. And this is one of my favorite holidays of the entire year, because it is one that is worthy. It is something we should do as Americans, and I hope you'll spend the time doing that. There's so much rhetoric out there, anti-whatever, and I think it's the right thing to do to praise those who have served and given themselves for our freedom. So please take the time to do so if you can. In Psalm chapter number 84, and starting in verse number 1, if you're able to, let's stand as you read our scriptures this morning, just for respect in the Word of God. Then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll be seated. In Psalm 84, it says this: "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I pray that, Lord, you teach us your word this morning. Show us what we need to see and hear. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And God, put a hedge about this place, please. Please do not allow any distractions. I know the devil would love to send our way. And Lord, may our hearts be in tune to the word of God. Lord, anyone that's lost, I pray today they be saved. Those who need to get right with you, that they'll do so today. And God, for the heart of the believer, that we will find the rebuke, the strength, the encouragement, the comfort, whatever our spiritual needs are this morning, that you will meet them according to your word. And in your name I pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated. This spring, about a month and a half ago or so, a robin built its nest on our porch light. Right there on our front porch, and my first thought was to tear it down quickly, but my girls protested, and there was little eggs. They reached their camera up there and took a picture, and sure enough, there were little eggs up there, and so we let them go on. For the next few weeks, that Mother Robin kept going back and forth and taking care and building that nest, and it made quite the mess, I gotta admit. But the worst part of it was this: that bird would scare us to death. Every time we'd walk out, because you don't think about it, you'd walk out and take off, and you would duck, you'd think a giant condor was attacking us, but it did fly off. Or anytime we pulled up at night, especially after church at night, I would have to get out of the car, go make loud noises, and close and open the door to make sure it wasn't going to attack her head. So we had quite a time with that for quite a while, and then while we were gone on the senior trip, little eggs all hatched, and there were baby birds in there, and they making all this racket, and then the mother bird would come and, you know, bring food and spit it in the baby's mouth, and the kids thought that was awesome. And you have to admit, it is kind of cool. The way God created all of creation with such order, and the way that mother bird takes care of that. My wife, who is deathly afraid of birds, I mean, she hates birds. They just scare her. It's just a fear that she has. And even she had a soft spot for these birds. When they were first hatched, we all had them cold spells. She made me leave the porch light on to keep them warm. I went to go turn the light out. Oh, it's so cold out. Those eggs would get cold. So I left the porch light on. I don't know if it worked, but they all hatched and they were fine. So and they flew off and left me to clean up the mess. But it was fun to watch. I guess as part of spring, seeing God's creation in full action there. But David, in this passage of scripture, he obviously, making his way to the tabernacle and worshiping God, he noticed something. He noticed the birds. The birds caught his attention. They had done the same thing there in God's tabernacle. Look down with me there in verse number 3. It says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." David, in this passage of Scripture, is talking about the tabernacle, the place where they would go and to worship God and spend time with the Lord. For us today, we would equate that to the church. Aren't you thankful for the church? Amen. All right? I always fear making a pause there, because if you don't amen, then it kind of bums out everybody, right? Aren't you thankful for church? Yeah, sort of. All right, yeah, don't be like, yeah, whatever. All right, yeah, all right, amen. We're excited, right? Be thankful for the church. And David, you know, he was so thankful. I like what he says in this chapter. I'm not going to preach on this chapter. We're going to focus there at what he said about the birds in verse number 3. But if you want to look at the whole chapter, he talks about how much he loves. And if I'll equate it to today, we ought to love the church. Verse number 1, "How ample are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." He loved going to meet with God. Listen to me, friends, we ought to love going to God's house. We ought to love coming to God's house and singing his praises and worshiping him and giving to him and hearing the word of God preached. It ought to be something that we love and adore. Amen. And David said how amiable he loved it. In verse number 2, he longed to be there. He said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." You ought to long to be in God's house. You ought to look forward to going to church on Sunday. You ought to look forward to going to church at your midweek service. You ought to look forward to going to church on special services. God's church should never be a drudgery. You ought to love going. You ought to look forward to going, because if you're looking for it, you'll find it. A lot of people get bored with church because they come expecting to be dull and dry and to be bored to death, all right? And if that's what you're looking for, you'll find it. I don't care where you go. I did youth activities for years with our teenagers, all right? I would take them to some of the coolest places on this earth, all right? And I also took them to some of the most boring places on this earth. And you know what? Kids that wanted to have a good time had a good time. Whether they're on a roller coaster going down to 80 miles an hour or whether they're throwing a rock in a creek, they had a great time if they wanted to have a great time. Those that wanted to be miserable were miserable. I don't care what you did. You could take them to Disney World and feed them all pizza all day. And they say, "I hate pizza. It's hot," right? And there's always those people, right? And there's, you know, it doesn't matter what you have in front of you. If you want to hear from God, if you want to get a blessing, you'll find it. If you don't want it, you'll find exactly what you're looking for too. When you come to God's house, you ought to long to be here. He loved it. He longed for it. He wished to live there. Verse 3 and 4 talks about that. Verse 4, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." He just wanted to spend all his time at God's house. He wanted to live there. Verse 5 through 9, he realized that that's where life is. There's life there. He talked about the refreshing there as the pools of water, the strength that you can get, prayer time, and how God is a shield to every one of us. And then he realized in verse 10 through 12 that at church you can learn there. Verse number 10, he talks about the privilege of going to God's house. "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." As long as I can be close to the house of God, he said, that is far better just to hold the door open there than to have all the luxuries that the world has to offer. It's a privilege. There's power there. Verse number 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." There's power. God's house ought to be a place of God's power. There's promises that are shared there. In verse number 11, it says there, "The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." David talked about the great privilege of being in God's house. Now, he loved going to God's house. We ought to love going to God's house. But as he's sitting there, And he's taking all this in. He noticed a sparrow and a swallow flying in and out. Just like we watched for, you know, about a month and a half there, that robin going back and forth. And I mean, that robin made me tired. There were some evenings I'd be sitting in there in our kitchen or living room, and that bird would make 1,000 trips back and forth. Just taking something back to that nest, going back out, back and forth. I mean, that mama bird worked hard for a month. And I mean, just going and going and going. And David obviously is sitting there in the house of God. He's taking all this in, and this bird flies in. He watches it. The swallow comes in, and he watches it. And he includes it in the psalm. Look again in verse number 3. It says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." I want us to learn a lesson about church from the birds today, all right? What can the birds teach us here about church? Number one, God's house ought to be a shelter for us. It says in verse number 3, "The sparrow hath found a house." Now, the reason that sparrow flew into the tabernacle there was because there in that tabernacle, it found shelter. The world can be a dangerous place for a sparrow, especially out in that area. Had many prey that would love to prey on that sparrow, many creatures that would love to make that sparrow its lunch. It was hot. The shade was there, and it found shelter. God's house, the Lord's churches, should be a shelter from this world. We live in an age today, unfortunately, that is trying to adapt the church to make it more like the world, to make it to where everyone feels as comfortable being like the world and coming and sitting into church and still feeling like you're in the world. And that is a travesty in our day and age. God's house should be a shelter from this world. This world has no good intentions for God or His people. Now, I'm not saying that they're out there to kill us, all right? But what I am saying is this: the culture that's out there, the lifestyle that's out there, the philosophies that are out there do not line up with God's word. And when we come into God's house, it ought to be a shelter from the culture that's out there. It ought to be a shelter from the world is constantly calling and bringing temptations towards people. The world is constantly trying to draw people away from the things of God. I mean, let's face it, you can't drive down the road without being bombarded with temptations and sin. You turn on a radio, you turn on a television, I don't care, you open up a magazine, and the world is constantly calling at believers to turn their hearts away from God back to idols. It is constantly going on. There is constantly a pull to indulge in your flesh, to live like the world, to do whatever you want to do. The world's constantly calling us, and we live in that. If you say, "Oh, I don't see that," then you're spiritually blind. It's everywhere. But when we come in here, it ought to be different. When we bring our young people here to church, they ought to find something different. They ought to find a place of shelter from this. We as believers, I don't care who you are, it wears on us. I taught in my Sunday school class just now about this philosophy that's out there, a me-first philosophy. And we live in that culture today. I mean, social media just primes the pump, man. Everything's about me, check me out, look at me, and the world revolves around me. There are people out there that they'll tell you, all right? They care about themselves and nobody else, all right? And we as believers should be exactly opposite of that. But I don't care who you are, as we live in that world, it rubs off on us. It rubs off on us. If you're honest, you find yourself living that way every once in a while. Say, "Not me," right? Yeah, until someone sits in your pew, right? "Well, I can't believe that's my seat. I've been sitting there for 20 years, right?" Or someone parked in your parking space, right? That never happens here, right? Never, right? I hope not. Tell someone at work, right, does something that offends you, or the person in front of you at the stoplight, it turned green and they didn't take off in 1.2 seconds and you're mad. Ha! Come on! Got somewhere to be, right? Someone, we get so easily offended today because we just love ourselves. And that philosophy rubs off on us. Whereas God's people, and this is my Sunday school lesson this morning, I don't want to teach it, but our life should be about submitting to one another. The believer should live a life of service. Loving people. And when you invest in other people, you find joy. Out there, it's completely opposite. Completely opposite. But here, it ought to be a shelter. There's temptations and the lust and the pleasures of the world. It's sad today. I always make a joke, you know. Sunday night Facebook is usually a 101 lesson on what's wrong with church today, right? You start reading out everybody's doing in their churches, right? You know, having rock concerts and, all these, unfortunately, sometimes wicked things going on in God's houses. Beers and hymns. It's happening, right? I mean, just all this stuff that's going on, that's not the way God intended for his people to be. And when we come to God's house, we ought to find shelter. It ought to be a place where you are not being pulled away from God, but you are being pointed towards God. You're not being pulled towards your lust, but being pulled towards the Spirit. It is a place where we ought to grow in the Lord, avoiding the world's corrupt lifestyle and its anti-God philosophy. Church should be a shelter. Church number two should be a place of security. Should be a place of security. Look again in verse number three. The sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest. A place of security. The nest. I watched as that robin. It flew to that nest, like I said, 1,000 times. Anytime it was quiet around our house, that robin settled down in that nest. It's a place of security. A place to be safe. The reason they build a nest really is for twofold purpose. To hide from the enemy, but also a place, as it says here in our passage of Scripture, where she may lay her young. David's watching all this and he thinks, you know what? That's what God's house is. It's a place of shelter. But it's a place of security. Everybody look at me. It's a place that I can fly to. When I'm hurt, when I need help, when I need to be fed, when I need security, when I need fellowship. Say, did you see fellowship in that nest? Every day once them birds hatched, man, they were happy. I mean, every day I watched, you know, when them little baby birds were in there, they start making that little sound. That mommy bird would come near. You see a little worm or something hanging in its mouth. And y'all seen them little baby birds, right? They just sit there. Right? Mouth wide open. They had some really good fellowship together, right? I mean, that baby, those baby birds, they loved when mommy came. Wouldn't it be awesome? This would be awesome, Mother Moss. I stepped up here to preach, and everyone went, oh, feed me, right? Feed us. Should be. Now, please don't open your mouth. That'd be weird, right? But spiritually speaking, that's the way it should be. You see, when we come to God's house with our tight lips and folded arms, we don't grow. We don't learn nothing. We need to be asking God to teach us, to show us, to feed us. It's a place where you can run and find safety. A place, listen, where you can raise your family. Mom and Dad, we need the church. The church is a vital part of rearing our children for the Lord. If we want to see our children grow up and do something for God, the church needs to be a centerpiece in our home. David watched this and he realized It's a place of shelter. It's a place of security. It's a place where they can run to. But also it's a place of supplication. You notice there, let's keep reading. It says, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. Now, I had to stop and think about that when I read it. I mean, why did he mention even thine altars, right? Well, even David being the king, there were limits what he could do in the tabernacle. At one point, remember, King Saul decided he was done waiting on the priest, and he went and did his own thing. And he was greatly punished for it. Because there were some things that he could not do. It was the priest's job. And there in the worship, it was the priest who would go to first of all that brazen altar where there he would, you know, make that sacrifice for sin. He would then be able to go into the holy place where there was the altar of incense. David couldn't do all that. But he watched. The birds got to fly right over it. They flew wherever they wanted to. And he said, boy, that'd be nice. They get to come into the tabernacle. They're able to find shelter there and build a house. They're able to build a nest, even the altars. They can even go over to the altar. So how does that apply to us? I got good news for you. In this New Testament age in which we live, the Bible says he had made us kings, just like David, and priests. You ain't caught that, have you? We have the privilege of going to God. We have the privilege. You can go to the Lord. You can bow the knee whenever you want to. There's two altars there, as I just mentioned, in the tabernacle. There was the brazen altar, which according to Exodus was where the sacrifice was made for sins. Number one, if you're not saved today, you need to go to that altar. You need to go to that place and understand that because of my sins, I am guilty. Because of my sin, I am heading towards a place called hell. It is real. Hell is not a made-up place or a figment of someone's imagination or some literary picture. Hell is a literal place. Hell is a place where the Bible says there's fire and torment, where the worm dieth not. Is a place of darkness. It was a place prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not design hell for you. I'll tell you what he did design for you. And once you grasp this, it makes all the difference in your understanding of God. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And there came a point, according to the word of God, that hell had to enlarge itself. Because it was not prepared for you. But God did prepare a place for you. And that place is heaven with God. And you study the dimensions of heaven there in the book of Revelation. And there is room enough for anyone and everyone who's ever had life on this earth from beginning to end to be in heaven. Because it was designed for you. So I want to go to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? I mean, you go down the street, we go on visitation, we knock on doors, and we talk to people about, you know, we usually introduce with church and things, but then we'll say something to the fact, you know, more importantly, do you know that you're going to heaven? And most of the time, people look at you and say, well, I hope so, or I think so, and I usually return that with this, well, God said you can know so. What a wonderful blessing that is. On very rare occasions, maybe one or two times in my entire life of growing up in church, has someone at a door looked at me and said, I don't want to go to heaven. Actually, I would prefer to go to hell. I've never heard anyone say those words. I've heard some people say, I don't care. Heard quite a few people saying, yeah, well, shut the door. They don't want to deal with it. But most everybody, if they had the choice, would prefer to go to heaven. Well, then why aren't they lined up at the door of God's churches all over this country? It isn't that they don't want to go to heaven. They just love sin. They love themselves.
And they love their flesh, and they love, you know, and maybe you're here today and you don't know that you're going to heaven. And you can act like you just want to push it aside. You can try to ignore the issue. You can put it off and put it off. But my friend, one day you will stand before God. One day you will stand before the one who created you. One day you will bow your knee and you will confess that he truly is Lord. But what will determine whether you go to the place that was designed for you, heaven, or whether you go to the place that was prepared not for you but for the devil and his angels, is what you do with Jesus Christ today. And if you decide today, I'm not going to deal with it, and you die in that state, you will go to a place called hell. And the fact is this, you're not going to be condemned. You are condemned already. That's how all of us are born into this world. We're all filthy sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's the way we are. But praise God, his son, Jesus Christ, died for our sins. And you can know that you're going to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. I, Travis Burke, know that I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a good person, because if it was dependent upon that, I would have no chance. But I'm going to heaven because I have believed on the name of the Son of God. I have believed that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He is God's Son. He is perfect. He is righteous. And he came to this earth and he died on the cross for my sins. He paid for my sins in full. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the day that I said yes and I received that gift that God has for me, I from that day know that I'm going to heaven. Not because it's based on me, because it's based on what he said. And God cannot lie. So today, if you've never gone, that brazen altar back in the tabernacle is where they would take and they'd pour the blood out, which was a symbol of what Jesus would do one day. Hebrews says that when he went to the cross, there would be no more shedding of blood of goats and bulls. That was done away with because that was just a picture. Jesus has paid for our sins once and for all that one time. And if you've not trusted in Christ as your Savior, would you do so today? But then that second altar that's there at the tabernacle was as you then passed by the brazen altar. Having gone to the brazen altar, you then went to that altar of incense, which was a picture of the sweet fellowship between man and God, which, by the way, you can only have after you go by the blood. And I'm thankful today that God loves me and that I can talk to God. That's one of the things that we as Christians sometimes don't stop and think about. What a privilege, man. Did you realize when we bowed our head just a few minutes ago and we prayed, we talked to the creator of the universe? That's unbelievable. I mean, we just don't fully appreciate that like we should. I mean, there's been times I've talked to some pretty famous people, you know, and I've said a few words, and then I was like, man, you won't believe who I met, right? You know, I've talked to some athletes. You know, I met Pete Rose one time. That was pretty cool. I love baseball, right? You know, and he talked to me, and we shook hands. Oh, that was kind of cool. Back when the Reds had they hosted the Hall of Fame, me and Alex went downtown, and we met Raleigh Fingers. I got to talk to Raleigh Fingers for like 10 minutes. That was cool, all right? You know, I've talked about his stash. It was cool, all right? He still has it. We had that was cool. I like telling people. Yeah, I talked to him. That was neat. But they are just dirt. When we bowed our head a minute ago, we talked to the only holy God, the creator of the universe. You have a relationship with him. What a privilege. That God loves you. What a privilege. What an honor. And we ought to rejoice in that today. You ought to be shouting amen. You ought to be praising God. You should be. You're all sitting there like a lump on a log, man. You ought to be praising God that you have a relationship with the creator of the universe. I mean, what a privilege. What an honor. I mean, I can only imagine somebody comes in our doors today and he joins the church. You find out it's Bill Gates' son. Some of you would be doing flip-flops down the aisle. Oh, man, we're going to get into money now, right? Woo! Yeah! Church has the needs. Bill Gates' son goes to our church. Yeah! We got the inside track. You'd be so excited. You'd talk to somebody already today greater than anyone that's ever been on this earth. Stop and think about it. What a privilege. David sat there and watched these birds fly over the altar and said, man, that's a privilege. And we get that privilege. Got to be thankful for the supplication. And then lastly, submission. Church should be a place of submission. It says, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God. You know, when we go to God's house, we got to remember who's in charge. He's our Lord. He's our King. He is our God. When you come to God's house, it's a good place to be reminded, this world is not my home, and I do not belong to me. I belong to Him. Child of God, take a lesson from the birds today. How special a place church is. If you're here today and you're not saved, my friend, please run to the Lord today. If you are saved, be thankful for the privilege of going to God's house. What a blessing it is. Father, I pray.